Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, Chapter 2, Text 117, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Siddhanta Balaya Chitte Na Karo Alash Iha Hoite Krishne Lage Sudrida Manash Siddhanta Balaya Chitte Na Karo Alash Yeha hoite Krishna lage sudrida manash. What's written there? Krishna or Krishne?
Krishna.
Krishna. Siddhanta balaya chitte na karo alash. Yeha hoite Krishna lage sudrida manash. Ladies, Siddhanta, conclusion, Balaya, considering, Chitte, in the mind, Na, Karo, do not be, Alash, lazy, Iha, this, Hoite, from, Krishne, in Lord Krishna, Lage, becomes fixed, Sudridha, very firm. Manasha, the mind. A sincere student should not neglect the discussion of such conclusions, considering them controversial, for such discussions strengthen the mind. Thus one's mind becomes attached to Sri Krishna. Such conclusions, this refers to the text which has gone before it, which is the discussion of whether Krishna is the original form from whom the Narayan forms come, or whether Narayan is the original form from whom Krishna comes. Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse: there are many students who, in spite of reading the Bhagavad Gita, misunderstand Krishna because of imperfect knowledge and conclude him to be an ordinary historical personality. This one must not do. One should be particularly careful to understand the truth about Krishna. If, because of laziness, one does not come to know Krishna conclusively, one will be misguided about the cult of devotion, like those who declare themselves advanced devotees and imitate the transcendental symptoms sometimes observed in liberated souls. Although the use of thoughts and arguments is a most suitable process for inducing an uninitiated person to become a devotee, neophytes in devotional service must always alertly understand Krishna through the vision of the revealed scriptures, the bona fide devotees, and the spiritual master. Unless one hears about Sri Krishna from such authorities, one cannot make advancement in devotion to Sri Krishna. The revealed scriptures mention 9 means of attaining devotional service, of which the first and foremost is hearing from authority. The seed of devotion cannot sprout unless watered by the process of hearing and chanting. One should submissively receive the transcendental messages from spiritually advanced sources and chant the very same messages for one's own benefit as well as the benefit of one's audience. When Brahma described the situation of pure devotees freed from the culture of empiric philosophy and fruitive actions, he recommended the process of hearing from persons who are on the path of devotion. Following in the footsteps of such liberated souls who are able to vibrate real transcendental sound can lead one to the highest stage of devotion, and thus one can become a Mahabhagavat. From the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami, we learn Shastra Jukte Sunipun Drita Shraddha Jar Uttamadhikari She Taraye Shongsha. A person who is expert in understanding the conclusion of the revealed scriptures and who fully surrenders to the cause of the Lord is actually able to deliver others from the clutches of material existence. Srila Rupa Goswami, in his Upadeshamrita, advises that to make rapid advancement in the cult of devotional service, one should be very active and should persevere in executing the duties specified in the revealed scriptures and confirmed by the spiritual master. Accepting the path of liberated souls and the association of pure devotees enriches such activities. Imitation devotees who wish to advertise themselves as elevated Vaishnavas and who therefore imitate the previous acharyas but do not follow them in principle are condemned in the words of Srimad Bhagavatam as stone-hearted. This Canto 2, Chapter 3. Text 24, Tadash Masaram Vidyabhatedam. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commentated on their stone-hearted condition as follows. Bahir Ashru Pulakayo Sator Api Yad Dhridhayam Na Vikriyeta Tad Ashmasaram Iti Kanishtadikarinam Eva Ashru Pulakadi Matvepi Ashmasara Hridayataya Nindaisha. Those who shed tears by practice, but whose hearts have not changed, are to be known as stone-hearted devotees of the lowest grade. Their imitation crying, induced by artificial practice, is always condemned. The desired change of heart referred to above is visible in the reluctance to do anything not congenial to the devotional way. To create such a change of heart, conclusive discussion about Sri Krishna and his potencies is absolutely necessary. False devotees may think that simply shedding tears will lead one to the transcendental plane, even if one has not had a factual change in heart. But such a practice is useless if there is no transcendental realization. False devotees, lacking the conclusion of transcendental knowledge, think that artificially shedding tears will deliver them. Similarly, other false devotees think that studying books of the previous acharyas is unadvisable, like studying dry empiric philosophies. But Srila Jiva Goswami, following the previous acharyas, has inculcated the conclusions of the scriptures in the 6 theses called the Shatsandarbhas. False devotees who have very little knowledge of such conclusions fail to achieve pure devotion for want of zeal in accepting the favorable directions for devotional service given by self-realized devotees. Such false devotees are like impersonalists who also consider devotional service no better than ordinary fruitive activities. Om Agyana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Shrestham Manamapi Shachiputra Matra Sarupam Rupam Tasyagrajamurupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prato Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tamnatosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atath Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagarna Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitam Sajivam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This verse from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada, quoted several times that we should properly understand Krishna. Similarly, we should properly understand the process of Krishna consciousness. How can we properly understand? We have to hear from persons who properly understand. Simple logic. Srila Prabhupada was certainly a person who properly understood, and he really gave himself fully for the sake of trying to get others to properly understand by writing books, by speaking, by living the life of a devotee. If we don't understand properly, then we can't practice Krishna consciousness properly. It's not a very difficult thing to understand. We have to do the right thing, and then things will go right. And if we don't do the right thing, then things won't go right, which means things will go wrong. It's not difficult philosophy to understand. There's a proper way to drive a car, and there are rules to follow of the road. And if you don't follow, you're likely to get in a crash and cause severe damage to yourself and to others. So the path of Krishna consciousness, it's also scientific. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam is this scientific knowledge of the process of Krishna consciousness. And scientific in the sense that if we follow it, then we get the result. If we don't, we don't get the result. Or we get some other result, which is not the desired result. Of course, Krishna can do anything by his mercy, but that's the, taking another analogy, that's like the honorary degree. If we want to get a degree from a university, we have to follow the standard process. And you may say, well, I'll get an honorary degree. But that's not so likely. Even to get an honorary degree, one may get it, but if one does something extraordinary which is pleasing to those who hand out honorary degrees, it's not by bucking the system that one gets an honorary degree. As in all of Srila Prabhupada's purports, there's so much in every line that could be expanded and discussed. And the point Srila Prabhupada makes here, he makes it so many times. One must alertly understand Krishna through the vision of the revealed scriptures, the bona fide devotees, and the spiritual master. This, understand Krishna, understand the process of devotional service. Notably here, the revealed scriptures are mentioned first. Because a bona fide devotee and spiritual master means they're in line with the scripture. One cannot be a guru and properly situated guru unless he speaks in line with the Shastra. The center is Shastra, Srila Prabhupada states this. And that is the understanding of all bona fide acharyas, that you have to speak according to Shastra. Now there may be differences of outlook in what the meaning of the Shastra is. Therefore, Siddhanta Balaya Chitena Karaha Alosh. Therefore, we should apply not be lazy in the matter of understanding what is the proper conclusion. But in the matter of understanding the proper conclusion, we have to consult the previous acharyas and the gurus who are following in the line of the bona fide devotees. In this regard, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, paraphrasing this statement, said, Siddhanta alashjan anartha to charena. Here, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami says that one should not be lazy in the matter of understanding the proper method of devotional service, because by doing this, one's mind will strongly be attached to Krishna. And taking the same proposition and stating it in the opposite way, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, Siddhanta alashjan anartha to charana. Someone who is lazy in the matter of properly understanding the conclusions of devotional service cannot be rid of impurities, cannot make proper advancement. The real advancement in devotional service, or the tangible advancement in devotional service, begins with anartha nivritti, the change of heart. There's initial faith, associating with devotees, taking up the process of Krishna consciousness, and then the effect before prem. There's nine stages, which this final stage is prem, but the change in consciousness is seen when one assiduously follows the process, and then anartha nivritti. In following the process, first of all, one has to give up the gross anarthas, unwanted things. No meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no sleeping until 8 o'clock in the morning, and so many no, don't eat food cooked by non-devotees. Don't waste our time watching Netflix useless. Who is that you're saying the name of? Clint Eastwood and John Wayne and all this kind of thing. Or more up to date, whatever they may be. So that's being free of the anarthas in action, and then the anarthas in the mind, attachment to this material world, and aham mama adi param, taking the sense of I, me and mine, and then the lust, the greed, the anger, all these things, becoming free from these so that we can come to the stage of fully pure consciousness in Krishna, full Krishna consciousness, uncontaminated by any material consciousness. And we have to be guided to come to that stage. Otherwise, if we're trying to become pure, otherwise like trying to clean the floor with a dirty brush. If we need some cleaning agent. If you clean the floor with a dirty brush, then you're just spreading the dirt around, more and more dirt. So if we make up our own process, bringing our own misconceptions, and we think we're going to clean the dirt out of our hearts, it's not going to work. We need to bring the clean, pure process of Krishna consciousness that is beyond the modes of material nature. And then by the mercy of Krishna, all the dirty things in the heart can be cleaned out. in this regard, in the matter of understanding what actually is devotional service, because we should consider also, because as in this purport, Srila Prabhupada, he cites the example of imitation devotees who do not properly understand the process of Krishna consciousness and imitate the behavior of advanced devotees. And they may appear to be very advanced devotees to people who have not gone through this process of carefully trying to understand what is the actual fact about Krishna and about devotional service. Those who haven't taken to this process, but who simply want to, out of some sentiment, they simply want to imagine themselves and others to be great devotees without going through the proper process of discrimination between what is proper devotional service and what is not, then they'll be misguided, they'll be misled, and they'll mislead others. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vithin Vina Aikantiki Hare Bhakti Utpate Yaiva Kalpate. People who perform devotional service, but it's not exactly in line with Shastra, it's more or less just some imagination, their supposed devotional service, it causes a disturbance in society, in as much as what is actual devotional service, it becomes difficult to distinguish what is actual devotional service from what is not, when there are so many things being advertised as the real thing when it's not. So we have to be very careful to understand very clearly what is pure devotional service. There's a statement I came across recently in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Anubhasha of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which he's discussing the nature of pure devotional service and distinguishing it from what may appear to be pure devotional service. Arop Shiddha O Sangha Shiddha Bhakti Kokonoi Shuddha Bhakti Balaya Parichitta Hoina. He's discussing these terms. We don't actually find them directly in Srila Prabhupada's books, but we do find them used. The technical terms are used often by our previous acharyas, the terms Arop Siddha Bhakti, Sangha Siddha Bhakti, and Swarup Siddha Bhakti. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that this Arop Siddha Bhakti and Sangha Siddha Bhakti, they should never be never identified with actual pure devotion. Arop Siddha Bhakti, the different acharyas give different slightly nuanced understandings of what these are, but Arop Siddha Bhakti, I mean, Arop means to ascribe. So if we do some activity which basically we want to do, and then we offer it to Krishna along the way, it's like Karma Mishra Bhakti or Sakama Bhakti, doing activities more or less what we want to do and offering that to Krishna. So that should not be mistaken for actual pure devotional service. And Sangha Siddha Bhakti means that, actually in this regard, this quotation from Bhagavatam, one should cultivate compassion toward others, friendliness, offering respect to others, cleanliness, austerity, tolerance, silence, study of the Vedas, simplicity, celibacy, non-violence, and so on. One should consider heat and cold, happiness and distress to be the same. One should perceive the presence of the Lord everywhere. One should live in a secluded place, renounce family attachments, and remain satisfied with gain which comes of its own accord. So these are all very good qualities, but if we consider the qualities themselves to be devotion, to be pure devotion, that is a mistake. These qualities, if they arise in tandem with pure devotion, doing everything simply for the satisfaction of Krishna, then they are symptomatic of pure devotion. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavatya kinchana sarvaya gunais tatra samasate suraha. Those who are unmotivated, pure devotion, unmotivated means they're motivated only by the desire to please Krishna, then in such persons all good qualities arise. But if we want to cultivate qualities like friendliness, cleanliness, austerity, separately from devotion, or if we think that by cultivating these qualities, that will make me a devotee, then that is a misunderstanding. That is the point being made there. We should be very careful about this, because we hear things said, and it's actually very good for preaching among pious people in India. If among students, we can say, well, you should work very hard and pass your exams because your studies are your devotional service. And because if you study well and you get good marks, well, people will think, well, it's good to be a devotee of Krishna because that will help you to get good marks. And then later you go on and do a job and your career is your devotional service, because you must do well in your job and have a good position, because then others will respect you and earn plenty of money and others will respect you. And that's also good for preaching, because people see, you see, devotees of Krishna, then they are very respectable in human society and they get lots of money. So it could be pure devotional service to pursue a career if one is absolutely and firmly fixed that I'm only doing this for the pleasure of Krishna. But what actually... And this is what Krishna wants me to do. This is what I need to do in Krishna's service. But what we more often find is that people that who are pious and they like to chant Hare Krishna, they also have strong material desires to get ahead in the world. And if they're told that this pursuing a career and getting ahead in the world is... You maybe don't hear this so much in America, because people are fed up with the pursuit of the American dream, but the American dream became the Indian dream now, and people are so material. In many ways, I find people in India more, in general, more materialistic than in America, because in America, people are burned out of all this making money and career and all this, but in India... Where's that stool? I want that. I want a star-spangled stool. But pious. They're also pious. They also worship Sai Baba. Krishna. Oh, that's right. Yeah, Krishna, yeah. All right. Sai Baba is the present incarnate, isn't it? Yeah. Hmm? Prem-sai. Prem-sai kaho. Prem Saikaho, whatever. Anyway, we can say that and people will come. It's a great message for bringing more and more people in, that, you know, get ahead in your career and be nice. Or you should be friendly with people and what else? Clean and study the Veda, teach your kids Bhagavad Gita shlokas, and all this kind of thing. But to think that in and of itself is the same as pure devotional service confuses what is actual pure devotional service, where one is actually doing everything wholly and solely for the pleasure of Krishna without any personal desire. So we should be very careful not to mix all these things up. Otherwise it becomes very difficult to preach pure devotional service, unless pure devotional service, as defined by Srila Rupa Goswami, is clearly delineated as the only goal and repeatedly stated, then we're not going to get it right. That means we're lazy in understanding the proper conclusion. So, okay, it's understood that not everyone is at the level where they're able to completely surrender to Krishna. Actually, everyone can in any situation of life, and that is exemplified by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's not that one is in family life is by virtue of that not able to practice pure devotional service. That is exemplified by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was also he was upwardly mobile in terms of his career. When he was a teacher, and then he studied law and became a magistrate. So we could say that he was pursuing his career, but he never said that my career is my devotional service. although actually it's a fact that from the position that he held, he was respected among certain kinds of people who were influential in society at the time, which also helped him to have his message be heard. So there is merit in the statement that if we have a prestigious position in society, that if we preach Krishna consciousness from that platform, then people will be more open and willing to hear it. But it's a fine line, because if that personal desire there to be recognized and to have a good, respectable position in society, if there's any personal desire there, and we mix up in our minds, therefore we have to very clearly distinguish what is what. Not everyone, it's understood, not everyone is fully ready to surrender to Krishna, but at least those who are going to be initiated. Initiation, we say four regulated principles, 16 rounds, but the essence of initiation is diksha kale bhakta kare atma samarpan. At the time of initiation, one gives himself to Krishna. It's not that my life is no longer mine. My life is meant for Krishna's service only, and I may have a so-called good job or no job or whatever it may be. That is incidental, and as long as I'm in this world, and especially if one's married, one has family responsibilities which he has to pursue. But it should be clearly understood that these things are required at the present time in my present situation, but my real aim of life is to fully give myself to Krishna. And even within that situation, within family life, I have to organize my life in such a way that I can be always, or as far as possible, engaged in the primary activities of Krishna consciousness, hearing and chanting about Krishna, remembering Krishna, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. And that's another type of arop siddha bhakti, to think that feeding the poor and performing dharmic duties, maintaining one's family, that's on the level of hearing and it's all devotional service. Or sangha siddha bhakti, that can be also. That can be devotional service if it's done in conjunction with one's activities in devotional service, but it's not central to devotional service. So in other words, if one supports one's family and maintains one's family for the sake of engaging them in Krishna's service, that can also be considered devotional service. But because the center of our life is hearing and chanting about Krishna and associating with devotees and making Krishna the center of our life. Otherwise, to maintain a family, even the dogs and cats are doing that. So it doesn't become devotional service because we're doing that. So all these points have to be understood very clearly. Therefore, I'm suspicious of bridge preaching, because we're saying different things to what is the actual Siddhanta. We're saying things to people and guiding them in such a way. And the aim is to guide them gradually. But again, we shouldn't think that these are the central activities of our movement. The central point is hearing and chanting about Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, teaching these shastras, and other kinds of preaching for difficult people who are difficult to catch. Maybe that can be done also on the side, but we shouldn't think that it's the same or even better. That becomes a mistake. It is otherwise, if everyone does alternative preaching, then the alternative becomes the mainstream. And then hearing and chanting about Krishna directly from Gita and Bhagavatam becomes the alternative. It becomes the minority activity. So these activities of directly hearing and chanting about Krishna, directly, clearly stating the process of devotional service is required. Otherwise, everything gets spoiled and everything gets lost. Not everyone will agree with this, of course, but we have to go on. Nevertheless, even if people don't like it. In this regard, I'm going to read from a purport of Srila Prabhupada's, which appears at the beginning of his, at the beginning of his commentary to the Antya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which Bhrigupati Prabhu has printed it out and gave to me this morning. So I'm just going to read that. Srila Prabhupada writes, "If one wants to benefit the entire world," one wants to benefit the entire world. That's a very noble motive, isn't it? And you think everyone would appreciate that. However, Srila Prabhupada writes, "If one wants to benefit the entire world, he will certainly find persons like hogs and pigs who will put forward many impediments." That is natural. That is natural. But if a devotee seeks shelter at the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, the merciful Goswamis will certainly give the Lord's servitor all protection. It is not astonishing that impediments are placed before those who are spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Nevertheless, if we adhere to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis and pray for their mercy, all impediments will be annihilated and the transcendental devotional desire to serve the Supreme Lord will be fulfilled. Is it, you put it up there? Yeah, that's a motto for Srila Prabhupada's life. So many impediments, so many people were against him, but he wasn't faced. So many senior devotees who were senior to him in terms of initiation, in terms of number of years. He said that, "I see my god brothers, so many of them, they're very learned, austere, had so much association, more than me with my Guru Maharaj." But they were upset with him. Why isn't he? He should follow, we're his seniors. But they thought, sure, they're my seniors, but my most senior is my Guru Maharaj. I have to follow what he wants and what he says. And he just went on. And he did what he had to do. And he benefited the entire world. If Srila Prabhupada, of course, this is not necessarily applicable in all situations, but if Srila Prabhupada had followed what his seniors had said, we'd all be in hell. All of us here now, we'd all be in hell, which means go outside the door and regular life. It's just hell. Hare Krishna. So what I said just now is a continuation of what I was talking on this morning, and if there are any questions. I was asked if there's some questions. Yeah, please. Just the mic will come.
So you read that devotional service, doing devotional service that you of a variety that you like to do, something you like to do as devotional service. How does that work with engaging according to your
According to one's propensity?
Yeah, because naturally you would seem to like that.
Well, the overarching principle is to do what Krishna wants us to do. We may be better at doing some things than others. Arjuna, he was good at fighting, but he didn't want to do it. But Krishna told him, you have to do it anyway. Often we hear, well, book distribution is not my propensity. Well, how many people have the propensity to go out among the public to try to sell things that, to sell anything for a start, especially things that people don't want to buy? Here you are, sir. Here's a book on giving up illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating, and fully surrendering your life to a Hindu god. But we devotees do it. So, yeah, generally that is there, that we are engaged according to what we're good at. And what we like to do, we may have someone who they like to cook, but they don't know how to cook properly, and they're trying again and again and again, but they just don't get it right. Better put someone in the kitchen who can cook properly. So that consideration has to be there also. We may like to do it, but how are we going to best serve Krishna? That's the ultimate consideration. And definitely in the neophytes, well, actually, especially for those who are going to join the ashram, then doing the needful is more important than doing according to our propensity. That training has to be there. And then later, we'll see, when devotees have internalized that principle of doing what needs to be done for pushing on the Sangita movement, when that surrender is there, and then we'll see later what they may be an artist, they may be a cook, they may be a pujari, they may be a translator, or whatever. But it's not any rigid rule that I have to do what I want to do. But even one has a propensity to do something, still it's not so much about the propensity but about the attitude. That I am doing this because I want to do it and I offer the result to Krishna. But I have a propensity to do something, and I'm doing it well, others say I'm doing it well, and it's also something that the Vaishnavas want me to do, and it's contributing to the mission of Srila Prabhupada, the Sankirtan movement. So, but if we think, well, it's something I like to do, that's the main consideration, then that's not pure devotional service.
Another question, real quick, sorry. But you mentioned that we should be performing pure devotional service. So how do we know that we're performing pure devotional service?
Therefore, siddhanta balaya chitte na karahalash, yaha hoite krishna lage sudhira manosh. Therefore, we should apply our intelligence very seriously to understand. According to the regulators of revealed scripture, the previous acharyas, and the spiritual master, and there may be disagreements, then what to do? Then we live our lives and we'll see Krishna at the end. We have to consider, those of us who are older, especially, we think that in the Abrahamic traditions, they have the idea of the day of judgment, right? Thou shalt going to meet thy creator. So yeah, we're going to have to go and give our report card to Srila Prabhupada. We're going to have to see. Therefore, we have to pray and be sincere. It's not very difficult to understand what Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do. Not very difficult to understand. He made it very clear. If we don't like that, we can say things like, well, that was for 50 years ago and times have changed, so we have to change along with it. It doesn't sit with me because the Yuga Dharma didn't change. The holy name didn't change. The contaminated consciousness of the conditions, the basic nature of the contaminated consciousness of the conditioned souls didn't change. Does that mean we have to change the Krishna? Every time the kami whirls, they do some, they waltz in one way and they zigzag another way, and we have to keep on changing with them. They start to wear their hair purple, and then we have to dye our shikas purple, and we have to go along with everything they do. But rather we should understand, Golokera Prema Dhan Harinama Sankirtan. This is the culture of the spiritual world. Let's stick to that, and we take people back to the spiritual world. Otherwise, we don't know where these people are going to, but we don't go along with them. That's my response. Others will say differently. Then you have to choose where you want to go. Everyone has their own independence.
Marge, this morning, at the beginning of your class, you were explaining how we have to hear in order to be able to understand Krishna's position, and then we can gradually develop love
for him. Yeah, and Srila Prabhupada says the same thing in this purport also, right. More or less. Yeah.
But just before you launched onto that explanation, you mentioned that the Pandavas already loved Krishna, and then they heard from... Just before you started, you know, giving that explanation, you gave the example of the Pandavas very briefly, that the Pandavas already loved Krishna, and then they heard from Dom Yamuni, I believe it was.
And others, yeah.
So could you say something about that? It seems, is that like just their good fortune? I mean, like, and also like the analogy would be, say, some devotees got the association of Srila Prabhupada. They didn't have to, you know, but for others of us, we have to just go through the books and, you know, follow the regulative principles.
Well, those got the association of Srila Prabhupada, and there were many of the early devotees. There was a lot of affection, we can see. And Srila Prabhupada was very affectionate toward Hayagriva. But Prabhupada never accepted Hayagriva's deviations. He never condoned it. And Srila Prabhupada said, if you want to know me, read my books. Vani is there and Vapu is there. And we're always directed toward serving the Vani principally. Otherwise, Srila Prabhupada's family members had so much association with him, but they never took advantage of that. Whereas you or I presume like myself, you had not very much personal association, but you're associating with him very thickly by following his instructions. That's the real thing. Otherwise, the body of the spiritual master is there, or the person who you see and you interact with. But the real thing is to follow his instruction. If you're physically associating with, but you don't follow his instruction, you're not actually associating with him as closely as someone who's not physically associated and who is following the instruction, because the guru is one who gives instruction and disciple is one who follows. So it's not necessarily that one is personally associated, is actually closer, because closeness comes by following the instruction.
So can we conclude that in the case of the Pandavas, that prior to hearing from Dom Yamuni, their love for Krishna was not on the
their
transcendental
natural
platform?
Love for Krishna, just like it's described when Krishna and Arjuna first met. It was just natural love. And again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai, and then naturally they are very blissful to meet each other. It's
different category. It's a different category, right?
Yeah, it's in a different category, yeah. They're already great devotees. And it's just like when Arjuna hears Bhagavad Gita and Krishna calls him a fool. Arjuna is not a fool and he's not bewildered, but it appears like that. Otherwise, Arjuna understood Bhagavad Gita in the time it took Krishna to speak it, and there are great scholars who are studying all their life and they memorize all the shlokas and they don't understand a word of it. So,
The question that I have is that my understanding of Prabhupada was that he was referred to as the hatchet guru or the chopping guru. And we know that he was very vigilant about exposing the cheating gurus and the nonsense people that were supposedly teaching something. Which, by the way, the Rithiks used those quotes against Vaishnavs, which is a complete inappropriate application. But my question is that, and yet at the same time, many devotees come to Krishna consciousness through the stepping stones of some of these other, you know, not so pure, we'll say, teachers. And I've had to deal with this a lot in Ojai. They may be involved in different schools, and they say, why are you so against these other teachers? And my understanding is because Prabhupada was saying, well, you could go to the other teachers, and you can, two things could happen. You could get so sucked into it that that's where you basically revolve for the rest of your life. Or you get so burned out from it, then you don't want anything to do with anybody ever again because they burn you out. But yet the other argument is, and what we see, and even there's some people within ISKCON who are playing very nice to some of these other groups as sort of like a diplomatic relationship to try to, but then the problem with that is it looks like we're endorsing those other groups.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'd like to hear some comments on
how to deal with this. Phalena Parichyate.
Yeah.
We have to see. But the good thing about repeatedly stating the fact that those who are presenting anything but Krishna as the absolute truth are misleading others, if we fail to repeatedly state that, then we are in danger of making it seem like we endorse them or that there's nothing really very much wrong with them. Which it was a major misconception, which we have to get over if we're going to surrender to Krishna. Because surrender to Krishna means to understand that everything else is completely useless and there's nothing of any value in anything but surrendering to Krishna. Now we may say, yeah, well, in my body, yeah, 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 this, that. There are always two different ways of looking at it. Just like we may say, I may meet a devotee and say, how many rounds are you chanting? 4 rounds. Oh, that's really good. You're chanting 4 rounds. That's really good. Last time I saw you, you weren't chanting at all. And then they come up, they get initiated, and you meet them after some time. How many rounds are you chanting? 4 rounds. Only 4 rounds. But you promised to chant 16 rounds. So it's from different perspectives. Even real Mayavadis, not like the kind you get in Ojai, who are just really super bogus with a capital B and a capital O, G, U, and S. Bogus squared or raised to the power of 1,000 or something. No, actually, I mean, they're just little Kali Yuga glowworms, aren't they? But they seem like they're giving a lot of light. They're not so powerful, after all. But there's people in Kali, people are so stupid, they get misled by these glowworms. So, those who are really in following the Vedic culture, like the real Mayavadis, those who are in the Shankara school, one had just passed away recently. He was the Shankaracharya of Dwarka and Badrinath. So they rise early, they follow so many Vedic rules, they're strict sannyasis, they know the Vedas, they know the Upanishads, they're seriously dedicated to Vedic culture. And Shankaracharya, he did that, he's praised for that, for saving the Vedic culture or making a major contribution to rebutting the influence of Buddhism. So that's very good. And people, we see in India, people are saying that in many ways they're very materialistic, but at the same time very pious also. It doesn't seem like that when you're in India, but when you go to America, then you appreciate it more. And when you go back, you appreciate it more because of the difference. But that basic piety to identify with the Vedic culture makes it, even though they may not even use the word Vedic, I mean Hindu or whatever, that makes it easier to bring them into Krishna consciousness. But on the other hand, you have to clean out all the garbage, Sai Baba worship and Jato Mat Toto Pat and so many bogus ideas. When Srila Prabhupada came to the West, he didn't have to deal with all of that. Now we have to deal with the neo-Hindu version of Krishna consciousness in the Western world, where we've got all different ideas that your career is your devotional service, feeding the poor is devotional service, and it's just like here in we have this Koti Ashvamedha Krishnanama Sam Jekahe Se Parshande Donde Tare Jam, this here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Whoever says that performing 10 million Ashvamedha sacrifices, which is just about the most pious thing you can do in Karmakanda, if you think that performing 10 million Ashvamedha sacrifices is equal to chanting the name of Krishna once, such a person is a Parshandi, which is translated as a heretic, and is punishable by Yamaraj. You're doing all these pious activities, but if you think it's equivalent to chanting the holy name even once, say we're doing some, we're consciousness raising. You see, we're consciousness raising. We're helping people by teaching them meditation and breathing exercises. Right, Vayu was telling me about the Vayu is in London. He went to one of these programs that devotees were doing, and the devotees had the people came in, and he told them, breathe in, breathe out. And Vayu, he just came from London. He was previously an accredited yoga teacher, and he said anyone who had actually studied pranayama even a little bit would understand that the devotee telling them to breathe in and breathe out didn't know anything about it whatsoever. So yeah, anyway, if you think that pious activities are even slightly on the level of Krishna consciousness, then you become punishable by Yamaraj, even if you're very pious. And then we have that dharma vrata huta hadi sarva shubha kriya samyam api pramada. To think that pious activities are on the level of chanting the holy names becomes an offense against the holy name. So, hatchet, you were saying. You have to chop at these things. Then preaching is an art, isn't it? Because if you only chop, then everyone's chopped to pieces and there's no one to preach to. So Srila Prabhupada, he had kirtan, he had prasad, and he had his books and his talks also. And in his talks, sometimes, just if we see Srila Prabhupada's talks at Rathiatras in the West, he would speak in a very encouraging way, briefly, and just encourage everyone to pull the cards, kirtan, take prasadam. So that was for the, and he wanted these mass programs. So there are mass programs. That's a good bridge preaching program, isn't it? Rathiatra. You do that in Ohio, right? Everyone likes that, right? You can get away with 364 days of chopping for one day of Rathiatra. People really like it. And who knows what they're thinking, that, oh, that's God. Okay. My other form. Who knows what these people, they have such weird, Mayavad really messes your brain up.
Yep.
Really, really. You could do a neurobiological study and find out how it actually messes up your thought processes. So yeah, that's a good bridge preaching program, Rathiatra. We just invite everyone to come. Everyone likes it. Maybe there are a few hardcore Christians, but are there any hardcore Christians in Ohio? I guess they must be, right?
Yeah, they're there.
They can.
Yeah, it might be interesting to share that one year we did the Rath Yatra, and then a couple days later I was at a friend's house, and they were having a small gathering, and somebody said something about that big chariot in the parade. We're the biggest thing in the parade. We win first prize all the time. You know, because we actually, you know, the Hare Krishnas are real professional paraders. I mean, that's what Rath Yatra is. And so they wanted to meet me, and they came over, and they said, oh, you're the guy who put that in. And they were very, very enthusiastic. So I started, you know, that sounded pretty encouraging, started preaching in a very kind of incremental way. But as soon as I got to the process of a little bit serious philosophy, this immediate response came. But I don't want anybody telling me what to do.
Yeah.
Very polite at the one point. Up to one point.
A few years ago, I was in sharing anecdotes. I was in San Diego, and the so-called Bhakti Fest was close by at. What's the name of that place?
I call it the Boga Fest.
Yeah. Anyway, it's close by. What's the name of that?
Joshua Tree. Joshua Tree.
Joshua, whatever. It was close by in Southern California. Right. So one devotee, Titiksava Karunakar, he came to San Diego Temple just after that, and I was in San Diego. And he told me that one of the leaders, organizer of the Bhakti Fest, had said to one of our ISKCON leaders who had been there, he said, we like your kirtan.
Nope.
We love your kirtan. We love your prasad. We don't like your philosophy. And he said that Vijay had been there. He said it's the worst place he'd ever been to for book distribution.
Yeah, I've heard that from a few people.
They're already God. What do they need a book for?
Right.
They already know everything, right?
That's the same thing in Ojai.
Yeah. So, preach to the pious. And so we were just discussing how there is a very good field for preaching in America. Maybe, really, there are other places apart from Ojai. You need to get out of there sometimes. So you were analyzing Bhrigupati, right? Oh no, actually, that was Ananda Kirtan was saying that, right? That you have this lunatic far right in America, and you have the lunatic far left. And there are actually a few people who are somewhat sane in the middle, and they're actually quite people who are somewhat conservative in their outlook and somewhat open-minded also. And it seems like here in Atlanta, it seems to be a great spot for that. People are very sweet in general, very open. Let's help, Prabhu. You want to say something?
I just had an anecdote in that regard that. One time, I know it must have been about 74 or 73 or something, Jayananda said, we're going to go out in Harinam. And on the way out there, he said, well, we're going to this big building where inside they had all these booths of all different yoga groups. And he told me that Prabhupada said, we don't mix with these groups because we didn't want to become just one of the groups.
Exactly.
We did go there, and we were with them, but we just did Harinam around the whole inside, and then we left. So we don't want to become identified
right,
as just
right,
another
right,
group.
Right.
It's kind of the way the new followers of Western followers of Gaudiya Math place Prabhupada kind of just as one of the gurus. You know, they're
one of the junior members who somehow lucked out.
Yeah.
Any ladies? There's a hand up way, way at the back there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This question is from the morning session. So in the purport, when you were reading today morning, it said that no one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. So I was of the understanding that, you know, actions are actually, they come from what our thoughts are in the mind. So
they come from?
What we
our
think.
Thoughts?
Yes.
Yeah, well, then I made the point that therefore minimally we have to follow the four regular principles. Mm-hmm. We have to follow all these things like taking only food offered to Krishna. And these actions will help to purify the mind. Actions follow thoughts, and that's why we're in the material world. According to our desires, we act and we get different bodies. And then if we want to rectify this situation, we have to perform actions as directed by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Instead of following our mind, we follow the authorities who can help us to become purified. So we don't just do whatever we want to do because we think we like to do it, but we understand, I need rectification. Therefore, I have to perform actions as prescribed by the spiritual authorities which will purify me.
That clears it, Maharaj. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. So, you have a question. All right.
Because I'm always thinking in the form of prasadam distribution. So, I'm remembering this one pastime where Srila Prabhupada... He was in, I believe, Mayapur. And he was looking outside his window. It may have been Hyderabad or somewhere. He saw the dogs and the Brijbasis, or poor people, fighting in the pile of banana leaf prasadam leftovers, fighting over it. And he said that we should do prasadam distribution within a 10-mile radius.
We said no one within 10 miles should go hungry.
Yes. Can you comment? That's it.
Yeah, well, he also wrote a letter about that prasadam distribution without kirtan and speaking philosophy is nonsense. So it's give prasad, but you should also do kirtan. I'm in the process of compiling a book called The Mood of Mishnu Srila Prabhupada, where many of these points are discussed, in which Bhava Ananda Goswami was... He was in Vrindavan and telling Prabhupada about the prasad distribution in Mayapur, which was started on that basis. And Prabhupada said, do you do kirtan at the same time? He said, yes, Prabhupada. He said, yeah, you should do kirtan also. So it shouldn't be that we present ourselves as feeders of the poor. The main aim of the Hare Krishna movement is to feed the poor. Just like I saw... This was quite a few years ago now. There was an article in an Indian paper on the feeding the school children in Bombay. And they quoted an ISKCON leader as saying, "We believe that to feed a child is the best way to serve Lord Krishna." And that's a gross misrepresentation of what we're doing. But it brings in the bucks. "The love of money is the root of all evil," said Lord Jesus Christ.